Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Friday. Hope you're going to have a great, great weekend here. And we're going to do our best to have a great weekend here. We did a program right before this one, and I said we would just go right to the calls as soon as we jumped on here. And so I am going to be a man of my word, and I'm going to go to this fine young man. Isidro is on the line here. Is that how you pronounce your name, from L.A., listening to KKLA?
Yeah, Isidro. You can call me Chilo. Chilo, short for Isidro. Either one.
Okay, awesome. So what's on your mind today? What's going on?
Steve, I wanted to call because a few weeks ago, I was listening to one of the episodes, and a lady called in. I can't remember what state she called in from, but she called in seeking advice because her son was incarcerated by his ex-girlfriend because he was accused of child molestation. And you had mentioned to her that you didn't feel that agencies would actually seek to incriminate people just to incriminate them. And I'm actually one of those persons that multiple agencies did try to incriminate me when I was 11 years old. And
that's horrible.
It was probably the most terrifying time in my life.
Well, I would think so.
And, you know, I can't prove it, but a mother knows when their son is innocent. And there's a lot of innocent people out there who have been incriminated for no reason. There's a documentary out there that's called Outcry. About a young man also who was incriminated later on. He was, all charges were dropped after he did a few years in prison for the same thing. In Texas. And, you know, I was 11 years old, and it was probably the most terrifying time of my life. So I was exonerated. I was found innocent. But what I went through I can look back and I can actually see the sex therapist at all costs was trying to incriminate me. The detectives, Child Protective Services, they were all trying to incriminate me.
So you're saying that there are some agencies, you're saying there are some agencies that would actually...
Not agencies in general, but what I'm saying is people within the agencies. You know, there's a lot of corruption. And yeah. I remember specifically the detective screaming at me in his office at the top of his lungs, towering over an 11-year-old little boy, trying to force him into admit something that wasn't true. And I remember the last comment he made to me was he threatened to put me on the lie detector test. I didn't know at 11 years old that a lie detector test has no value in court. So I remember I stood up and I got in his face at 11 years old and screamed back at him. And I told him, you bring that lie detector test right now and you put it on me and I'll prove to you that I didn't do anything to those kids.
Okay.
And when I did that, he backed off.
All right. So, the dilemma is I absolutely believe you, and we do know that people are falsely accused. But every time someone says or accuses, we must not assume it's a false accusation. It has to be investigated properly, not with a preconceived really the finding you guilty before even looking into it, which sounds like what happened. So I feel horrible what happened to you, but we still, every child that steps up, we have to hear them and act on it and investigate it thoroughly. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I'll send Cedro a copy of Every Man's Bible, thanking him for that call. It is important that we realize mistakes are made, but you really have to honor any child that says this is what happened to me. You have to look into it thoroughly, and I it saddens me that somebody didn't treat him the way he deserved to be treated there.
Well, what I love about him is this has changed him. It deeply affected him, and it has changed him, and this is an important thing for us all in our society to be able to understand, and to understand that, as we've said, sometimes people are innocent, and yet he could become a great educator on this topic. He could have incredible lectures and speak to people all over about this topic, and just about caring for other people and caring for children,
really
protecting people. And so I appreciate your call.
Well, and how to avoid the appearance of evil.
Well, that's a great idea,
right?
Too.
Pictures are drawn, and a lot of times in the legal system, it's the picture that gets painted.
Well, and then he's a babysitter. See, this whole thing happened. He was 11 years old babysitting a couple of five-year-olds or some young children. And how do you protect yourself in those situations? How does any babysitter protect themselves in those situations? Those aren't easy because it's he said, she said. It's yes or no, and it's hard. So,
I'm glad he called, and I wish him well.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Fanny. She's calling us. KRKS is the station, Denver, Colorado. Hi, Fanny. How are you today?
Hello, I'm great. My estranged husband for a year, he had been married five times previously. And before we got baptized, he got baptized a second time before we married. We were then married for 15 years, and he started to say that I was an adulterer. He was married to an adulterer because I had married and divorced 40 years ago. He's into porn, alcohol, weed. He's a minister. He's been into porn for 50 years. And we've been to many counselors, Christian counselors, and I had to leave that situation because of total disrespect. He was a rageaholic, critical, lying, never met his father, lies like a four-year-old. His mother refused to tell him about his dad, and I've even heard him lying and telling people that he was adopted.
Okay, so what's the question for us? That's a horrible situation you were in.
Am I an adulterer? Because he's told people this in the church, and I could not believe it.
Okay.
So he was defaming you, yet he has a much more colorful history than you do.
Very colorful, yes.
Okay. Is he still in ministry?
Probably so. We're separated, so I really don't know. But it had affected me so much until I stopped going to church because I saw, being in church for 60 years, I saw so many ministers fall because of lust problems. And it was just hard for me now to look at a minister and see him bringing forth a message and wondering what he's doing behind closed doors because of what I went through behind closed doors for almost 20 years with this.
Sure, But there are so many, 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 many wonderful ministers who are people of great integrity and well-connected to their spouses. And so I think, you know, you do yourself a great favor to, you know, resolve that so that you're not putting your experience onto some other folks and then robbing yourself of the opportunity to be in church, a good, solid church.
I agree with that, and I definitely will work on that. But, you know, the reason why I really don't feel bad about it is because I did speak to the, I think it was the fourth wife, and she told me that he did the same thing to her with the porn and the marijuana and the preaching, and she could no longer take it. So
why do you think people are so interested in keeping him being a minister? Well, why didn't that wife tell folks, hey, he shouldn't be in the ministry?
Because we're so glad to get away from him. We just want to forget the memory, the bad experience, the bad dream. It's horrible.
So, Fanny, I think you asked the question, am I an adulterer? And I'm going to say something that may sound very unusual. But it happened, 40 years ago, did you say?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I'm going to ask the question or make the statement, what does it matter at this point? You see,
well,
because you've lived your life, it's all over, it's a thing of the past, and it is no longer a red scarlet letter that you have to wear around your neck. It's over, and whatever happened to you in that previous marriage is, at this point, it's such a long time ago, and I'm worried that you would allow your misguided husband to put a label over your head that you're reacting to. As to the other, because I don't think you should wear that label. Number two, it is sad and very sickening the number of people that get into leadership because they are good-looking, charming, great orators, or quote-unquote, they have a lot of energy, and people think that this is the Holy Spirit's endorsement on them. And we don't stop and ask what happens behind closed doors before we pay somebody a salary and ask them to preach. There are some good guys out there, Fanny, and I hope you find one. I really do. But you're right. I don't blame your suspicion at all. You've been hurt.
Yeah, they let him go at the church. They fired him because they saw something was amiss. So, Connor. Mm-hmm. I listen to the show a lot.
A con man, sure.
Connor. Like Connor.
Well, he's an addict at the very least.
Yeah, he's not a healthy guy.
All right. Right. So I think the issue also would be is, if you did something all those years ago that was adulterous, would that be the unpardonable sin that you would be living with? And I don't think that that's the unpardonable sin. And I think that God is rich in mercy. And I think, and what I wanted to say when I heard all this is, what would it matter what a guy like him said? I mean, I wouldn't even give him the time of day.
Well,
he has no credibility whatsoever.
Right, and that's the place you have to get to, Fanny, because you did believe him. He made you feel special. Mm-hmm. You bought into the lie, and then he projected all of his junk on you, and you being a good person just wanting love took it, and it's hard to then peel it off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is your task, to now see that this is a lot of, I mean, if you're an adulterer, what is he, really, right?
So sad. I hate these kinds of situations, absolutely hate them, and I'm sorry that you ended up in one, but you don't
have to.
And I would encourage you to get some counseling so that you're not having just to figure this out on your own, and I would get in a women's Bible study and get back in a healthy, a whole church.
Well,
and I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say, and you're separated, Fanny? I'm wondering if him calling you an adulterer creates a fear to then move out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And that's a way of him holding you hostage.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus was quite clear that you commit adultery if you marry somebody that's divorced, unless it was they're unfaithful, and or they abandoned you as a believer, is another situation there. So, could be his another form of his manipulation there. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Fred from Dallas, KWRD. Hey, Fred, how are you today, and how can we help?
Doing well, thank you. So I was listening to the show last week, and I heard something about age appropriate for a child, and then I had a thought about my son and sex education, because he has asked me twice. And so I want to ask my question and then tell you what I said to him so far. So the question is, you know, what is your advice as to what is an appropriate age to speak with my son about sex, and how much should I tell him now? So at 11 years old, so first time he asked me, he had just turned 11, and my response was I'd tell him when he turned 12. So it would buy me some time to figure out what was appropriate for him. And the second time he asked this question was a couple weeks ago in his young, innocent way. He says, am I old enough to know what sex are? And so my response was, there are two sexes, male and female. And I just kind of gave him that, you know. And then, just please let me know what you think about this, because I want to know what your advice is to what is an appropriate age to speak with him about sex at 11 years old. He turns 12 at the end of November.
So it all depends, and so I'm going to ask you, does he go to a Christian school, is he homeschooled, or does he go to public school?
It's a Christian homeschool.
Christian homeschool. So I would say this, if he was going to public school, age 8 would probably be the latest I would wait. And if he's homeschooled, Christian homeschooled, I'd say probably it's overdue a little bit, but it's good timing here. He's been a little more protected perhaps because of homeschooling. But yeah, I would be telling him what sex is all about at age 11. Absolutely. Mylon, your thought? Okay, Jill, what do you guys think?
Well, I'm wondering, what does he know? And have you asked him? Well, tell me what you think sex is. What do you know about it?
And that's a good one.
And sometimes that's a launching pad, because you don't want to give them more than they're ready to hear. So if you get an idea of what does he know, and then you add to that. And there are even books and things to help parents where it describes, like, you know, a chicken and an egg kind of thing. So you can start a lot of times even, and maybe this is when they're even a little younger, kind of with the animal kingdom and having babies and what that means, right? But you want to not just like, okay, I've got to give them this big talk and impart all this information. It needs to be a dialogue. What do you think that sex is? Tell me what you know. What have your friends said? And then you can kind of guide the conversation. And as you're going, okay, is that enough? Like, does that make sense to you? And if he says, well, I want to know more. Yeah. Okay, well, right? And you have several conversations. You don't just have one talk. You open it up so that he feels free to come to you.
Mm. Jill, how does that chicken-egg conversation go? I'm not familiar with that particular...
Well, it involves breakfast, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Fred. At the end, we have scrambled eggs together.
We have scrambled eggs, okay. So Fred, here's the deal, and then maybe we eat the chicken for dinner. I don't know, but Fred...
Yeah. That might traumatize him.
You want... let me start by saying I've often heard, not all the time, but often homeschool tends to be protective, as Steve said, and oftentimes they don't really discuss sex because it feels way too foreboding to even the people that are doing the homeschooling, and it's not easy. It just so happens I taught sex education in high school. I taught a biology class, and so I had to teach human reproduction. And I still teach it. I'm amazed at the couples in my office who do not understand how the male body works and how the female body works. So I think what Jill and Steve have said is really important, but always get used to using proper anatomical names in your house. And so it is easier when you begin to do that. I won't say them on the air just because I don't know.
But
what
you get clinical about it.
No, you get medically accurate.
Yes,
this is called that. This is called that.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, I love your point, Jill, that at, when he asked more questions, then where do babies come from? Mm-hmm. Well, we put this into that, and a baby is made with a mom and a dad, and mm-hmm. that's how that works. And so you can make it very simple,
mm-hmm.
but it's appropriate to his line of questioning.
Yes.
And then, again, find out what he knows, why is he asking, and that's really good. And we wish you luck for it.
Yeah. So much for the term
woo. Don't be
woo-woo.
Afraid.
Yeah, can't use woo-woo.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. And Larry, you always bring something. Well, most of the time you bring something really special. What do you have for us today?
Oh, I've got a great testimony about the impact of this radio program.
Oh, I love that.
This is from a lady named Sarah. She says, I lay in bed hiding under covers, sobbing as silence and loneliness crushed me. I had no hope. Days later, a thought crossed my mind. That program I'd heard on the radio back in my college days, was it still around? Maybe I could find some hope there, you see. I had learned from my family that it was not okay to talk about problems. It was not okay to talk to counselors. Counselors are strangers and not safe. But a radio show would be safe, right? Quick search led me to New Life Live podcast. I binged them. Every otherwise quiet moment was filled with the voices of Steve, Sherry, Jill, Larry, Mylan. It wasn't long before the program drilled this phrase into my head. You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't expect change unless you take action. It rolled through my mind on a constant repeat. Without realizing it, New Life had taught me it was okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. It was okay to talk to a counselor. Spurred by that inadvertently memorized phrase, I made a bold move, sought out a counselor, began my walk down a path of healing. I still vividly remember the day I drove through town and noticed the beautiful clouds contrast against brilliant blue sky. The sight was so beautiful. My head had been down for so long, but I was looking up for the first time. So
folks, that's pretty special.
Yeah.
Isn't that special?
Mm-hmm.
And that's only half the testimony.
Wow.
Another day I'll do the other half.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But, folks, that's why we love what we do. That's why people listen to us and call in the show. And lives change. And God's Holy Spirit touches hearts, minds, souls, and makes a difference. And so we seek your support to continue that on. If you can make a gift and just say, I believe in what God's doing through New Life, and I want it to keep going, that's what we're hoping for. So appreciate it.
Well, a lot of work goes in to developing this program and to finding new ways to meet people's needs. And we get to do all that because of people like you that support us. So please help us. We want to be meeting new needs that have come up. You know, when we started New Life, there was no internet porn. There was no internet. And so there weren't cell phones that could access everything in the world, gambling and pornography and everything, other people. So we want to stay ahead, and we want to be there to meet the needs just like we're doing today. So help us if you can, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll send you this book, Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. If you don't need that, maybe one of your kids need it with their kids, or a youth pastor or somebody could use this, and it's our way of saying thank you to you. Anything else, Larry?
Just thank you, anybody who has given, anybody who will give, especially those of you who are going to give for the first time. Just thank you so much.
And just remember, you know, as Terry says on as we go out of the show, who's our amazing engineer and announcer, this is a listener-supported show. And we cannot be on the radio without the donations, because Christian radio pays to be on the air, whereas many other shows are paid by advertisers. That's not the case with us. And so it costs millions of dollars a year just to be on the radio.
It does.
And I just want all our listeners to know that. It's not because this ministry does not use finances well, or we spend it for a lot of big ticket items or luxuries, as you hear, which is very sad that some of these agencies
yeah, no,
do
we're
that.
Pretty pared back.
This
right,
is
Larry?
Very this is a very slim organization,
yeah.
And I can attest to that. And it's just important for people to understand that every dollar given here is well used.
Mm-hmm. And any radio commercial, if you're listening to a commercial station that and you hear a commercial air, that money that somebody paid for that commercial goes to the radio station. It does not go to New Life.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. And I want to go to Las Vegas, and I want to talk with Jody here. And hi, Jody. How are you today? Glad that you listened to us on KNLB. How can we help today?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I recently got married not too long ago, and things were going well. Just months we've been married. And just a week ago, my husband became very aggressive and violent. And he was throwing things. Yeah,
really?
And he knocked one of the doors down, and he squeezed my hand and bruised my leg. So obviously, I'm very sad about that.
What did you do when that happened? House. What did you just went to your mom's? You didn't report that?
No.
Because that's physical abuse that isn't going to get better unless you do the tough things to get it to change. That's very sad. I'm so sorry. What has he said to you since?
Yes, obviously we're both devastated. He keeps calling and calling and going around and around my mom's house, and he refuses to leave sometimes, and so we're all kind of a little bit concerned about that, and he just keeps calling and calling and calling
He hasn't left a note at the door saying, I'm devastated over what happened. I'm now in an anger management class, or I'm seeing a counselor two times a week, or I'm meeting with my pastor, doing a Bible study. I'm doing everything I can. I've confessed this openly so that it never happens again. And he's not going to do that until you report what happened and you get a restraining order so that your mother and you don't have to worry about him hanging around the house. We'll be back in.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Jill, you had an additional thought.
Well, I'm just thinking, Jody, okay, if he's badgering you, if you've gone to your mom's and have had zero contact with him, I might text him and say, go get help, and then call me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's panicking now, so he might need just a minimal contact that says, I don't want to talk to you till you've gotten some help.
Mm-hmm.
Go get help, and then, you know, let me know what you've done to fix this.
Right. And perhaps our first meeting would be in a counselor's office.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And boom. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've gotten help, then we'll meet in a therapist's office.
Right. And then we'll see what happens with our marriage because Jody married somebody she didn't fully know.
Right.
And that happens a lot. So Jody's not alone in this.
Well, and people can hold it together and appear like a good guy, but 4 months in, she's seen his true colors, right? And how he responds to that request for him to go get help will tell you a lot then about
how to proceed. That's right.
Okay, I'm really glad that she called us.
there's a first phase that Jill has, and when that doesn't work, then she needs to report this, get a restraining order so that nothing worse happens. All right, really glad that she called. All right, how about let's go to Jeremy in Dallas, Texas. Jeremy, you're on with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. How can we help today?
Yes, I have a problem where my mom knows about the issue. I can go out and try to find a date, but the female runs away from me.
Oh, that's horrible. What?
Meaning that they think I'm ugly and they don't want nothing to do with me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's really, really sad.
And I'm wondering why you're drawing that conclusion.
Yes, I
was. That's the reason, Jeremy. And you said your mom knows about
it. That's probably the main reason. My mom knows about it, but she's like, do the best you can, you know.
Okay. Okay.
So when I go out or on the way to work, if I see someone that's single, they don't even give me their number.
Right. Well, there's lots of reasons why a woman wouldn't give you their number, right?
Right.
Usually there has to be some kind of basis and interaction and idea of safety, right? I mean, if someone just comes up and asks for a number, I don't know about others, but I wouldn't just hand a guy my number.
Well, I don't give my number out either.
Yeah, and good, Mylon.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy,
Why do you think Jeremy deduces he's ugly?
Yeah, why is that, Jeremy?
I'm not ugly. It's just women think that around me.
Well, but see, you're thinking something that may not be true.
Right. Like, it could be your approach.
Yeah.
Versus that.
Yeah.
Right? There could be a lot of other things that are maybe off-putting to someone. Mm-hmm.
And your mom is not the person to ask that question.
Mm.
Your mom is not your guide here. You know, if you went to a counselor, because she loves you, she's your mom, and she wants the best for you. But you know, this whole question of how do I come across in public?
Mm-hmm.
How do people see me? What's it like to be on the other side of me? And, you know, people are attractive, and there are good looking attractive people, and there are good looking non-attractive people as well.
Mm-hmm.
I see attractive people.
Or average looking, very attractive people.
Absolutely. And, but I see people that you're drawn to necessarily physically, but when you start talking to them or they open their mouth, what's coming out, it doesn't make me want to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go to a counseling office or get in a group where you're doing a 12-step group or something like that, and you're able to talk about what do you guys experience with me in this group? How do I come across? Mm-hmm. It would.
Yeah, Jeremy, how old are you?
Yep.
Hold on one sec. Let's get Jeremy back on here.
Jeremy, how old are you?
Hello?
How old are you, Jeremy?
I'm 42.
Okay.
42.
Have you ever been married before?
No, I was in a long relationship where I had kids with someone, and I broke it off because I was moving out of state. She refused to move out of state with me.
Okay, and so
okay, so you've had relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm going to suggest a couple of things. One, let me send you a copy of Every Man, God's Man. That helps one thing. Secondly, you really need to get into a men's Bible study at least and see, I would say in this case, maybe a female counselor could help you understand, male or female is fine, but maybe a female counselor, you would listen to them tell you, here's some things that women want to hear. Here are some things that cause them to run. Things like that. I just think you can fix this. You can get some insight, and then you can address it. It's not a hopeless situation.
But there's another thing here too, Jeremy. it's a larger question, which is, so I left my family.
Yeah.
I left a wife and children because she wouldn't move with me. Now, I understand that that is a problem, but your kids are also still with her. Mm-hmm. And so that's really an important question. What
happens? Well, that's a disconnect
there?
Relationally.
It's a very big
right?
disconnect.
We don't, once we are in relationship and have family, we don't get to just make all of our own decisions. We have to consider them.
Yeah, we have
right.
to consider
what do you
people.
Think about that? What?
Could that's that a good idea.
Could that have anything to
so
do
it
with
maybe that there are sorry, Steve. There may be no. that there are some disconnects that you don't take the other people into consideration and they experience that, pick up on that, and so it makes them not want to be with you. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So you typically, and I'm not trying to be contrary, Steve, because he really does need to be in a group where he can learn yeah. more about what a godly man looks like. That's important. But I think the idea, Steve, that you gave of a female therapist that can reflect back and say, well, here's how you come across or here's mm-hmm. what you feel like, and to really ask that question. I know a person that asked the question, what's it like to be on the other side of me? And this person got a lot of answers that were not flattering, mm-hmm. But she chose to grow with those, and it was a very brave question. So that's where I would start.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to send you Every Man God's Man, and I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. It is the best-selling one out there, and I hope that's going to help you. And then look at the issue with those children that mm-hmm. Your kids, your father to some kids, and it's never, ever too late. All right, let's go to Sandra, Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, Sandra, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
What's going on?
Hi.
Hi, Sandra.
Well, hi. Well, what's going on is I've already deal with anxiety and depression. But now my cousin, he got shot and killed, and he's a close cousin that, you know, has lived with our family, seen him grow up. And it's like, what do I do with these feelings? Because
sure.
no matter what, I can't bring him back. No matter what, I can't change anything. And I had done a lot of praying for him, you know, because he's my young cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, my family helped raise, my parents helped raise him. So he's always been around. And, you know, I would see him, at least twice a week. Mm-hmm. Even when he, you know, he moved, he had his own place, good job, new girlfriend. And it's like, what can you do when you can't do anything to change the situation?
Sure. Sure. All right. So, is this the first person close to you that's ever died?
No, my mother, he was extremely close to, she died, but that was maybe more than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago.
But Sandra,
this is also a sudden death.
Yeah, Sandra, we're going to come back to you after the break here, but okay. Unlike your mom, this was as Jill is just saying, he's a close cousin, and then to lose him mm-hmm. in that he was shot and killed is a very sudden surprise, and it's a mm-hmm. shock.
Yeah.
It's even worse. We'll be right back. Steve?
Yeah. All right. Hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Counselors, workshops, books, so many things that we can do to help. We want to help you find that better place with the Lord.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking with Sandra, and of course, anytime someone dies at the hands of a gun unexpectedly, it's really, really tough, as her cousin did. They were close. And Mylon, what do you think? How could we help here?
Well, Sandra, this has a ton of questions that we can't answer, and you've said it very well. You know, I can't get them back. But we have to allow ourselves the time to go through a process of grieving, which includes a lot of grief and anger and grief and anger, of just protesting and then grieving that loss. The grief and anger, the last stages of a grief cycle, and you've accepted it, but it takes time for it to go through, and it'll take you a long time. And the closer, this is the price of closeness.
Yeah.
The closer somebody is to you, the harder it is to lose them.
Well, and the more tragic the incidents, right?
And you couple those two things together, Jill, that's right.
It's you're grieving over a long time, right?
And the suddenness, yes.
That's what my mother had.
Right. And loss is never easy.
No. Yeah.
But still, we have time to process. And so with this one, you've had no time to process. It just happens. It's upon you, right? And just the injustice of it, right? I think that's a hard thing, too.
Exactly. It is. And he was 25, even though I'm his older cousin.
Yeah.
He was 25. And just like, to me, he was a light. Like, he was a light, a bright light. And
I think, too, remembering with people who know him and keeping that memory alive, I think that's part of the grieving process, too.
Yeah, to not be afraid to talk about him. I have a friend who lost her husband 20 years ago, and I talk about her husband all the time. She says, Mylon, you're the only one that talks about him. You know,
right.
Everybody else has stopped.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, Sandra, is to find people that are also sad with whom you can grieve. You'll cry by yourself, but you also want to be able to cry
with people
and people that are safe enough and would comfort you and even hold you and let you cry is something that is really important.
Well, I'm going to send you our grief workbook and the Life Recovery Bible to help you with it. It's great if you have somebody to go through it, and I'm going to send you to Grief Share. That's a wonderful organization that can help you with it. Jill, you had something else?
Well, I was thinking of Dave's book, Forgetting What You'll Never Forget.
There you go.
Or Forgiving, What You'll Never Forget.
We'll send that, too. And I want to get to our final caller. I don't have a lot of time, but I see the up here on the board, and so I want to go to you, Sarah, from New York, and not a lot of time. Tell us how we could help you in the least amount of time so we can give you the most help we possibly can.
Hi, Jill, Steve, and Mylon. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Okay. I am so grateful that you're here with me today. 7 months ago, I called, and it was the three of you, so I'm really excited. The past 2 years has been very traumatic and exhausting. I've been wanting to make a career change, but no door is opened. I'm making a lot of progress in my personal healing, but I feel like I'm being held back by my work and marriage. I'm calling to seek some encouragement and clarity as I need to make a big decision. I'm wondering if I should just quit my job. Can I quit my job? Is it wise for me to quit my job without lining up a job offer already so I can continue to work on my healing and other things?
Well, I'm glad you called, because I always think that it's so much easier to find another job when you have a job versus when you don't have a job, and you just never know. It can kind of spiral into months and months with no job. So if there's any way to shore up the other parts of your life where you can get the support you need to stay on the job, then maybe you could stay long enough to find a job that might be better or more fulfilling. But that's just one perspective. Jill, Mylon, you guys have a thought about that?
Well, and it depends on your situation. I certainly agree with you, Steve, that that's usually the rule of thumb, right? You don't quit your job till you have another job. But do you have the resources? Does your husband support you financially? Sounds like there's things you want to do in terms of your ongoing therapy work and recovery and healing, as you said. So would a time out, a pause from working for a couple of months, 2-3 months, be of benefit? in order for you to then move forward?
I actually have been on disability leave, and I just don't think they can extend it forever. And I've been doing a lot of this healing, and I feel like it's making a lot of progress. But also, last year, I experienced a betrayal and deceit, so the idea of going back to work just frightens me. And last week, they contacted me about submitting some paperwork about disability leave. It just makes me so anxious, and I haven't felt this anxious since I've been working to improve myself on my anxiety. My husband and I were separated, and I also felt I need to take your advice to do the legal separation, but I don't have it in me to do so many things, because I used to be a workaholic, and all of a sudden everything stripped away from me. My whole world just collapsed. So right now I can't be as productive as I was, and I just fear that I don't have what it takes for me to do the separation and figuring out what happened between him and I. And
are you getting any counseling whatsoever?
Tricked and betrayed.
Are you getting any counseling?
I have been getting counseling since he was arrested, you know, regularly, and I'm doing a lot better. I started a step study at Celebrate Recovery.
Good.
That's also making a really big difference. So I'm seeing a lot of good changes in me, but I just felt I'm on the right track, but I'm being held back, and he is not showing action to bring changes. So I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be held back. But I also don't want to worship Jah, because that was the only thing going well for me. And when that happened, I just really collapsed. I had nothing left.
Yeah. So you're on disability, is that right?
Yes.
So is there a chance you could just show back up at work and start back in again at that job until you got another job?
I just feel so disgusted thinking about the idea of being there. I just don't feel safe after what happened.
Okay. Mylon, you have some thoughts here. I mean,
you said you were a workaholic, and I don't know what disgusts you. Our show is almost over, Sarah, but whether just the idea of getting back into an environment where you lost control at some level, and the job managed you and you fell into that, or if something maybe your husband was involved, I don't know. But the bottom line is if your marriage is falling apart and your husband is being arrested and there's other things going on, you need to do everything you can to protect yourself financially and to be able to be self-sustaining and to be independent from him. So I would say you're on the right track, job well done and getting the help. And number two, don't lose that job. And I would tend to want to have your therapy help you with that adjustment, but stay there.
Yeah. All right. Healing is a choice coming your way. Take your life back also with that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help or you could help us. Have a great, great weekend. Thank you, Mylon and Jill. See you next time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.